It's clear throughout Scripture, though. If you look in Philippians chapter 1, Paul here, it's recorded a prayer that he prays for the Philippians. And I taught through this book for an eLife course one time, and I've really loved the book of Philippians. And when I've taught through this book in the past, I've always been really drawn to Paul's prayer in this chapter, and all his prayers, to be honest with you, in Ephesians and Colossians, how he prayed and the model of how he prayed for others. But it kind of means more to me now today, because it's clear throughout Scripture that prayer makes a huge difference in the lives of people, and that's especially true of our kids. And as we have our baby dedication service today, as Kendall and I get an opportunity to dedicate Landon to the Lord, and as three other families dedicate their children, I began thinking about what kind of things we would like to see God do in our son's life as he grows up. And we actually encourage all of our families, before they dedicate their children, to do that very thing. Get a blank sheet of paper out, write down, just make it real quick, a list of what are the key things that you'd like to see God do in your baby's life as he grows and as he matures. What are some things in his character that you'd like to see developed? What kind of a walk with God would you like to see? Just write down, you don't have to have it real neat, and just as many ideas as you can. And then after you do that, kind of take the ones that are the most important to you and put them in a prayer letter to God. You know, Lord, we pray for our son or our daughter that you would do this in his life as he grows older. And put it down, write it down, put it away, and then maybe someday, hopefully, you might be able to give that letter to your child after he's grown or she has grown up, and be able to say, hey, we're so proud of you. We're so proud of what the Lord has done in your life. And these are some of the things that we've been praying for throughout your entire life. And it's so good to see that God has answered our prayers. So we were doing that very same exercise ourselves this week. And I thought to myself, what kind of a man do we want Landon to become? What character traits do we want him to develop as he grows older? In essence, we were thinking about what kinds of things we wanted to pray for him on a regular basis. And I was thinking through these things that my mind was brought to this passage in Philippians chapter 1. I find it so interesting that if you look throughout Paul's prayers, including his prayer in this chapter, you'll find very few times that Paul prayed when he was praying for people, when he was praying for the Ephesians, when he was praying for the Philippians, when he was praying for the Colossians, when he was praying for Timothy or Titus. You'll find very few times that he mentions physical things that he's praying for them. No, Paul prayed for their spiritual growth. Over and over again, you see him praying for the Philippians' growth spiritually, praying for the Colossians' growth spiritually, the Ephesians' growth spiritually. And you say, well, is it wrong to pray for physical things? No. Paul prayed three times for God to take away the thorn in his flesh. So we see times that Paul would bring physical prayer requests to God. It's not wrong to do that, but it's the order of priority that was so, I think, so important. It was always more important for Paul to pray for the spiritual health of those that he loved. And the physical things, while you can pray for those things, to be honest with you, they were not his number one priority. And if you look at the majority of his prayers, they were all focused on the spiritual well-being, the spiritual health, the spiritual growth of those that he loved. And many times I feel like it's flip-flopped in the church today. When you have prayer requests, or if you pray for someone, we don't know what to pray for if there's not something physical that's been prayed, that's been brought to our attention that needs to be prayed for. But when, in actuality, each and every day, if there's anybody in your life that you love, whether it's your child, your grandchild, your spouse, or just a friend that you love, there is tons of things that we can be praying for in their spiritual lives. And Paul was doing that for the Philippians here in this book. And he understood that spiritual well-being and growth always comes first, because, if I can give you an example, you can pray for someone to be healed from cancer, and that's okay if you want to do that. But you know what? They can be healed from their cancer, but if they never trust Christ as their Savior, they're still going to eventually die, and they're still going to die without Christ and go to hell. So while you can pray for them to be healed from their disease, also pray for their salvation, because that's the biggest issue that needs to be solved in their life. That's the biggest problem. When someone asks for prayer for a job interview, it's fine to pray for that, but make sure you're also praying for their spiritual health, because you can get a job and still be unhappy. You can get a job and still not have joy. You can get a job and still not have a life that pleases God. So we have to be praying for the spiritual lives of those that we love, those that we care about. Pray for God to help them grow. And that's the kind of things that I think that we struggle with oftentimes, even in my own life. Why do we struggle with that? Why do we find it so easy to pray for the physical things, but sometimes it's harder for us to pray for spiritual things? I think many times because we feel like, well, physical prayer requests are more specific, but spiritual, when you pray for something spiritual, it's more general. But nothing could be further from the truth. Paul had very specific things that he was praying for God to do in the Philippians' hearts. Very specific things that he wanted to see God do in their lives spiritually. And Paul gives us a great outline here, a great outline for the spiritual goals that we should be praying for, not only in our kids, but in any of our friends, in any of our family members, and even for ourselves. We should be praying for ourselves to grow in these areas. So right here in this passage in Philippians chapter 1, I see five key prayer requests that you can begin praying for anyone in your life today. Anyone in your life, you should be, if you love them, you should be praying for these things. It's up to you how you want to word them. We shouldn't follow anybody's word for word prayers, but these are the key topics that we need to be praying for. So when you pray for others, I think that we should pray that they would grow in, number one, grow in love. Pray that they would grow in love. If you would, look with me at verse number 8. Paul says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your what may abound? That your love may abound. That your love may abound yet more and more." Hey, he said, basically he's telling them, I know you already have love. And I even know it's abounding, but I want it to abound more. And then even some more after that. Don't stop growing in love, he said. Keep growing each and every day. Love is the great commandment. When you love others like Christ loved the church, you fulfill the law, the Bible says. Romans 13, verse 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to what? Love one another." He said, don't owe a man anything but to love one another. Why? He says, because he who loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Because he said, you can take all the law and you can basically sum it up in that. Because if you love someone, you're not going to steal from them. If you love your wife, you're not going to commit adultery on your wife. If you love someone, you're not going to be angry and say hateful things to them. You're not going to be covetous if you love someone. So you can basically take all the commandments and sum it up in love another. Love one another. So when you love God with all your heart, you're naturally going to want to serve him and you're going to want to serve others. You just will. When we love, we're most like Christ. And I love that song that you guys chose today, that new song. It's all about the love of Christ. Because of your love, we're forgiven. Because of your love, we are clean. It couldn't be more true. Because Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his what toward us? His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He showed his love. He demonstrated it by dying on the cross. Romans chapter 12, verse number 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Paul just kept talking about it. He kept hammering this idea of growing in love. In another one of his prayers, he talks about how important it is to be grounded in love. Go to the book of Ephesians, if you would, with me. Let's take a look at another one of Paul's prayers here in Ephesians chapter 3. It's just over a couple pages. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's start in verse number 14 so we can see that this is a prayer of Paul's. It says, "For this cause," he says, "I bow my knees." In other words, I'm praying. I'm getting on my knees and praying for you guys. "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." What did he pray for? "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in" what? "Love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with which passeth all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Paul put this first on his list of prayer requests for the Philippians. It's interesting, I think. It's also the very first fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. Very interesting. It needs to be a constant prayer request of ours because we always have room to grow in this area. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. So it's the other direction, just over a few books. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. What was Paul's desire for the Thessalonians, another church that he had started? Chapter 3, verse number 12 says, "And the Lord God make you to increase and abound in" what? "Love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward God." you. So you say, it seems kind of silly to pray that someone will grow in love. I don't even really understand why that's so important. I don't think we need to be praying for that. Well, Paul prayed for it over and over and over and over again. So there must be something to it. And here's what there is to it. When you pray for your son or your granddaughter or your grandson, or you pray for anyone in your life that you love, and you pray for their love to grow each and every day, when you pray for your spouse in that way or your friends, here's why it's so important. It's so important because there's so many areas of our life that we focus on in our spiritual walk that could just be solved by having a growing love for Jesus Christ. Do you feel that your Christian walk has grown stagnant today? Do you feel like you're in a rut spiritually? Pray for the love of God to abound in your heart. As you love him more, you're just gonna feel more excited to serve him as your love for him grows. Are you discouraged today? Pray for your love of God to abound yet more and more. And it's amazing how problems can begin to seem so small as your love for God grows more and more. Are you struggling today with a sin problem? Well, instead of trying to pull up your bootstraps and force yourself to stop sinning, pray fervently to God to help your love for him grow. And guess what? As your love for him grows, your love for sin diminishes. Pleasing God will be what matters most to you in the world. Love is so connected to everything, and our love for God can grow dim. And we can go through the motions, but we don't have that true heart of love. And Paul said, don't ever stop growing in love. Fall more in love with Jesus each and every day. That's our prayer for him. That's our prayer for all of our kids in this church, I think. Should be our prayer for ourselves as well. So when you pray for others, pray like Paul. Pray that they would grow in love. Number two, pray that they would grow in knowledge. Pray that they would grow in knowledge. Go back to Philippians chapter number one with me again. Philippians chapter number one. And it says in verse number 9 again, we'll read that same verse again. In this I pray that your love, give you guys a second, I hear some pages turning. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. But he says, don't, not just blind love, I don't want you to just love more, I want it to be combined with this. Love, he said, abound yet more and more in knowledge. I want your love to abound also with knowledge. Notice that Paul doesn't end this sentence with just, I want you to love more and more. No, I want you to also have some knowledge. I want you to also have some judgment. You know, many baby Christians have a lot of love for their Savior. Man, when you get saved, you're excited to be able to do whatever. You know, as they say, you want to charge hell with the squirt gun. Is that what they say, right? You're just so excited. But what, you know, what a baby Christian usually doesn't have is a whole lot of knowledge. Not a whole lot of knowledge. You don't know how best to express your love. You know, I can think about, this is a funny story, back when I first started dating my beautiful wife down there, we weren't even dating, actually, I had a hankering for her, and so I thought, you know, I like this woman, I kind of think I love her, I want to get her a birthday present. I'd never gotten any girl birthday present before, so I wanted to make this big, I wanted to make it good. I didn't know a whole lot about her, I only knew a couple things. I knew she was like me, and that she liked coffee, and that she liked ice cream. And so we were a match made in heaven. So I thought, I am really going to impress her. She lived in DeLand. I lived in Daytona. I'm going to drive all the way to DeLand, and I'm just going to find a really, really nice coffee shop up there, and I'm going to find a nice ice cream place, and I'm going to go get her a couple. I'm going to get her a gift as well, but I'm also going to get her some gift cards to like a really nice coffee shop and a nice ice cream place, because it's kind of something that we have as a connection. So she'll think I really thought that through. Well, I did that. I got that. I thought really, really proud of myself. I really showed her I loved her. Well, she never told me till years later, but that was not one of the better ice cream shops in town. There's a pretty awesome place called Rodeo Whip that if I would have went to, would have been a lot better, I think a lot more impacting. And the coffee shop that I went to, come to find out, made her sick to her stomach. Every time she went there, she got sick. So she wasn't really able to utilize either of the gifts that I got for her. I was trying to love her, but I wasn't loving her with knowledge. And you know what? A couple years later, I wouldn't buy those gifts for her anymore because I know we're a whole lot better. In the same way as a Christian, when you first get saved, you're excited. You got a lot of love, but you don't have a whole lot of knowledge yet because you haven't been in the Word of God. And that's why we got to get in the Word of God. That's why the Bible's so, so important. And we have to pray for our young people to grow in knowledge. We have to pray for ourselves to grow in knowledge, to love the Word of God, to hunger for it, to get in it, so that we can show God we love Him by obeying the word that he's given to us. Hey, for a time, baby Christians need to be spoon-fed God's word, just like a baby needs to be spoon-fed. But the ultimate goal, this is what we're praying for our son. The ultimate goal is that they would love the word of God eventually and become self-feeding, be able to feed themselves. That must be our prayer for our young people. Hey, Paul always included the importance of knowledge and wisdom in his prayers for the churches that he wrote to. Another example is in Colossians. Go over a book to Colossians. Colossians chapter number one. Colossians chapter number one. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 9, another prayer of Paul's here. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the what? Knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." All wisdom, spiritual understanding. Where are you going to get that from? From God's word. Verse number 10. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the what of God?" Knowledge of God. Hey, they were saved. They were Christians. He's writing to saints here. But he says, I want you to increase. I want you to grow in your knowledge of God. And that's what I want to pray for my son. That's, I think we should all be praying for that for ourselves. For anybody in your life that you love, be praying for that. Are you growing in knowledge? Are you seeking to grow in God's word each day? If I was to ask you to name one thing that you've learned from God's word in the last month, other than something that you learned here at church, would you be able to think of anything? Have you been feeding yourself in God's word? You say, well, I've been saved a long time. Yes, but you can't ever stop learning from God's word. Do you want to grow in knowledge? Do you pray for that daily? Do you pray for that for your kids, for your grandkids, for your spouse? Do you pray that your spouse would grow in the knowledge of God's word? Paul prayed for these things. We should too. So we've seen the importance of growth in love and knowledge. But thirdly, we need to pray for growth in discernment as well. Discernment. If you would go back to the book of Philippians again. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter 1, and let's read verse 9 one more time. He says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, but not only abound in knowledge, but also and in all what? Judgment." You know what that word judgment means? It simply means decision making. I want you to grow in your decision making. Are you making wise decisions? Then he says in verse number 10, "that ye may," what's the next word? "Approve things that are excellent." Approve. What does that word approve mean in this particular circumstance? Well, that word approve, it means I want you to test it. I want you to examine. I want you to scrutinize things. I want you to think about it before you make a decision. I want you to grow in your ability to do that, to decide this is good for my life, this is not good for my life. This is good for my family, this is not something I want as part of my family. This is not gonna be something we're gonna approve. Tested it, it's not good, we're gonna stay away from that. And you gotta grow in the ability to discern, to have that discernment of, you know what, maybe there isn't an exact verse for this, but I just get the feeling that this isn't something that pleases God, we're gonna go the other direction. Got to grow in that ability to do that, to know how to approve things that are excellent and to disapprove things that are not excellent. Hey, there might be certain things that are okay, but they're not excellent. You might need to get them out of your life because they're not pulling you closer to God. If anything, they're just keeping you kind of lukewarm. As children grow older, they're going to increasingly find themselves in situations when mom and dad aren't around. And if they've grown in the area of discernment, if they haven't grown in the area of discernment, they're going to make bad decisions. Many times they can be decisions that destroy their lives. The same goes for adults as well. Also, as kids get older, they begin to learn that not every situation has a direct verse that goes along with it. That's where godly discernment comes in learning how to think about things through the lens of the foundational biblical principles in God's word, and how to decide in this situation, I'm going to do this because I don't think that that choice would go along with the biblical principles that I've been taught, even if there's not an exact verse to go with it. Hey, discernment is not just something that you need for big decisions like what career path am I going to take or who am I going to marry. Discernment is needed on a moment-by-moment basis. Should we be watching this show or should we change the channel? Should I click on that video on the web? Should I be looking at these pictures? Should I go to this party? Should I expect this? Should I accept this lunch invitation from this coworker of the opposite sex? Should I be listening to this gossip from this person? Should I hit the snooze, or should I get everybody up and go to church this morning? You see, good discernment is such an important part of a godly life that pleases the Lord. You got to grow in love. You got to always be growing in knowledge, but you also got to pray, Lord, help me grow in my discernment. As I understand your word and as I begin to depend upon the Holy Spirit to help me make wise decisions, Lord, help me to do that. Help me to grow in discernment. That's what we pray for our kids. That's what we all should be praying for our young people. Lack of discernment has ruined many children's lives, but it's also ruined many adults' lives. It's ruined many careers. It's ruined many marriages. Just as Paul prayed, we got to pray that God give us the discernment to approve things that are excellent, disapprove things that aren't. We got to say this. We got to pray this same prayer request for anybody that we love in our life. Number four, though, we must pray for others that they would grow in sincerity. Sincerity. If you would, let's now look again at verse number 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be what? Sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That word sincere in this verse, it means pure. It means unsullied, pure and unsullied. The longer you're saved, the easier it can be to learn how to walk the Christian walk and outwardly play the part of a woman or a man that loves Christ, but to do it out of an insincere heart. Maybe it's for attention from someone else. Maybe it's because of the position that we have, but it's not because of a true love for Christ. There's a word for doing things out of an insincere heart. Does anybody have a guess what that word is? Hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." You know the next word? Hypocrites. He says, "Because you're like unto whited sepulchres. They indeed look beautiful outwardly, but they're within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so," he said, "you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and you're full of iniquity." Hey, it's easy to fall into a hypocritical lifestyle. It's easy to go through the motions, but not truly do what we do out of a sincere love for Christ. You know what? We got to be honest. We got to be sincere. We got to be, you can't hide and try to act like you're something that you're not. And you know, I'm thankful that my parents weren't always perfect. I'm thankful that they didn't all, it's not that they didn't make mistakes. I'm just thankful that when they did, they admitted it. You know, it's okay to make mistakes, parents. But don't try to act like you don't. That's what really messes kids up. When you make a mistake or you lose your temper, you fly off the handle and you don't ever apologize for it. Or, you know, maybe you make a bad decision and you realize it later, but you don't go to the kids and admit it. Just admit it. You know, there's a story I heard about a minister who was walking down the street when he came upon a group of about a dozen boys. All of them were about 10 to 12 years of age. The group had surrounded a dog, and the minister was worried. He thought the boys might have been hurting the dog, so he went over and he asked, "What are you doing with that dog?" And one of the boys replied, "Oh, it's just an old neighborhood stray. We all want him, but only one of us can take him home. So we've decided that whichever one of us can tell the biggest lie gets to keep the dog." Of course, the reverend was taken aback, and he said, "You boys shouldn't have a contest about telling lies." He then launched into a 10-minute sermon against lying, beginning with, "Don't you boys know it's a sin to lie?" And then he talked about, you know, all the different times in God's word that it talks about how it's a sin to lie. And he ended with, "Boys, I understood when I was your age how important it was to tell the truth. When I was your age, I never told a lie." There was dead silence for about a minute, and just as the reverend was beginning to think he'd gotten through to them, the smallest boy gave a deep sigh, and he said, "All right, give him the dog." He done won the contest for telling the biggest lie, right? And you know what? That's not the kind of reputation you want to have with people in your life. That, you know what? You always act perfect, like you don't have any issues, but the only person who knows it's not, who believes it is yourself, because everyone knows it's not true. And instead, be real, be sincere, be honest. Do you want to do what's right? Yes, but it's okay to say, "I make mistakes, but I'm growing each and every day." Have that sincerity of heart. You know, it's our prayer for Landon that he would always love God with a sincere heart and would resist the temptation to try to impress others with what he does outwardly. And you can do that, especially when you're in church a lot and you're very heavily involved in serving the Lord. It can be about what others think instead of, am I doing this out of a love for God? Am I doing this out of a sincere heart? We don't want that. In Romans 12:9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. You know what that word dissimulation means? Actually, be without dissimulation is all one word in the Greek, and it means unfeigned, and it means without hypocrisy. Don't love with a feigned heart. Don't love with a hypocritical heart. Let love be without dissimulation. In 2 Corinthians 1:12, Paul says, our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in this world and more abundantly to you, Word. So we got to grow in sincerity. And finally, number five, we got to do this. We got to pray that others and ourselves would grow in fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is the last thing. And we see that from verse number 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11 says, being filled with the what? Being filled with the what? Fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. That's the last thing that Paul prayed for them. He said, I want you to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. What are the fruits of righteousness? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When Kendall and I were going through our prayer letter for Landon, I emphasized to her how important it was to me that we put in there how we're praying for you, son, to let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in your life instead of living a life of rule-keeping and legalistic do's and don'ts. Here's what you should do, here's what you shouldn't do, and just go through the motions, do what the Christian does. We want him to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. We want him to be in love with Jesus and allow the Spirit of Jesus to rule his life. We can make a laundry list of things for our kids to do and for those that we love, and that's okay. But ultimately, we need to pray that they would yield to the Holy Spirit and that his fruit would fill their life. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Simple. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the inside out, not the outside in. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the work of the Spirit. What does this mean? It means you can't do it. You can't do them. It's not the works of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. You can only have the fruit of the Spirit by just allowing the Holy Spirit to lead your life. You don't have to tell an orange tree to bear oranges. It's just what it does. And you don't have to work to have the fruit of the Spirit. You just yield to the Holy Spirit in your life. You just follow and obey him. So if being filled with the fruit of the Spirit is a completely spiritual battle, you can't work to do it, do you see why it's so important that we pray for it? We gotta pray for it. Hey, listen, you can't make someone have joy. You can't make them, but you can pray that they would yield to the Holy Spirit and find joy in him. You can't make someone have a meek spirit. You're like, man, pal, you need some more meekness in your life, but you can't make him. But you can pray that that man would allow the Holy Spirit to fill his life and allow that meekness to fill his life. A lot of the problems that we have in life aren't knowledge problems. They're obedience problems. They're simply, we're not obeying the right thing in our life. We're obeying the flesh instead of the Spirit. Ultimately, if you want someone to have a successful Christian life, they got to learn to depend upon the Holy Spirit on a daily basis and allow his fruit to fill their life. So I hope you see here today that we need to get serious about praying for each other. And if you love someone, pray for them. If you love them, pray for them. Don't wait for them to bring a prayer request to you to start praying for them. You can pray for them right now. Here's five starting points to pray for them. And you know what I like about these things? They kind of encompass the entire kind of spiritual maturity Christian walk. You want to pray first that they abound in love. You need to have that deep love for God. And then you need some knowledge on top of that. But then, so you need to understand God's word. But you're also going to have some discernment for when there isn't an exact verse that goes along with it. But then as you grow in that area, sometimes hypocrisy can creep in. You can get pretty self-righteous. So you need that sincerity. And then finally, you got to get to where you just depend upon the Spirit and you're having fruit abounding and you're reaching others for Christ and you're becoming a discipler to others. And it's kind of that last step, so to speak. We got to pray for all these things for those that we love. We got to get serious about prayer. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against Satan and his demons. And in the battle, prayer is our weapon. Let's use it wisely. Amen.